Hi there.
Welcome to Mushroom Hour. Today on Mushroom Hour, we're excited to have a conversation with Tellario Watkins II, founder of Tiger Mushroom Farms. Tellario started his mushroom farm at the age of 7 on the heels of a Cub Scout project. And now at the age of 12, Tellario is a speaker, author, hunger hero, mushroom farmer, and nonprofit founder. He grows shiitake mushrooms in his basement and oyster mushrooms in his spare bedroom. Tellario sells these mushrooms to farmers markets and at local restaurants. His mission is to help end hunger and encourage kids to eat healthier. He has worked with No Kid Hungry to raise awareness and funds to end hunger. He volunteers with Food Rescue US and delivers unsold food from restaurants to food pantries. Tellario recently started his own nonprofit, Garden Club Project, to help this mission to end hunger. And this summer, that nonprofit delivered over 2,000 pounds to a local food pantry in his community. As if all that wasn't enough, Tellario was just recently gifted a microgreens business and plans to donate some of the proceeds of that business to his nonprofit to help his community even more. Wow, Tellario, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I am a huge fan. As we just read in your intro, you've got like a million different projects going on at once. So there's a lot to talk about, and it's really inspiring to see someone just go out there and make change like this. But the question that I got to know is, how did you fall in love with mushrooms? And maybe something about the Cub Scout project you were doing that led you to become this amazing mushroom farmer.
Well, my first meeting at Cub Scouts, we do cat grass and basil. So it was so interesting to grow my own food. And when I got interested in that, my parents asked what could grow in the winter. And I said mushrooms, because mushrooms can grow in the dark.
That's absolutely right. And did you like eating mushrooms? Because most kids like me, I didn't like mushrooms.
My parents used to hide it in my food. So I got used to it.
And it was for your own good, clearly. It's a good thing that they put the mushrooms in there, because it's led to so many great things. And then, you know, how did that lead to actually starting Tiger Mushroom Farms? Because I talk with a lot of people who grow mushrooms, and it's tough. You know, you make mistakes, you get issues with growing mushrooms. So maybe a little bit on how you learned how to really grow and then turn it into a farm.
So how I actually started the business, my parents, we started looking up websites or how to grow mushrooms.
Sure.
So we found this one website or this one company called Back to the Roots. We bought a kit from them. And when we got in the mail, we followed the instructions and we set up the kit. And they only grew for 2 weeks into full-grown mushrooms.
Right.
So that was why it was so fun and exciting, because they took extremely easy to grow. They're easy.
Yeah, they're fast.
I also got to eat them. So I like growing and then eating my food that I grow.
Man, it all comes back to food with you. And I think for a lot of people, that's why we fall in love with mushrooms, is because they're delicious and we love them. And I think everyone, or people listening to this podcast, probably have all heard of Back to the Roots with their famous grow kits. So you got inspired by those guys. And actually, it seems like you do work with those guys now. You do promotions and work with that team.
Yeah, I'm their junior brand ambassador.
That's really cool. They must be as inspired as we all are by your work. Hard not to be. Then I'm guessing that grow kit was oyster mushrooms. So did you get right into growing oyster mushrooms? Or what mushrooms did you really start with for the farm?
We actually purchased more kits, not from Back to the Roots, but from more websites.
Yeah.
And we purchased portobello, white button, and shiitake. The white button and portobello, they use manure to grow your cells. And my mom didn't want that in the house. So we fell in love with oyster and shiitake mushrooms, because they use redwood, like oyster use straw and shiitake products.
Doesn't smell quite as bad. So mom could probably put up with that one.
Yeah. And they're in different rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, once you start growing, and that's a fantastic way to start. People who ask me, how do I start growing mushrooms? I say, get kits online, and then you really start to learn about the mushrooms. And, you know, what the different stages are, when the cap opens and when they're ready to pick and all that kind of thing. But then how did you move from just growing them to actually being at farmers markets and selling them to restaurants? Because that's a big step.
So we grew a lot of the mushrooms from the mushroom kits and experimented with making our own kits to grow the mushrooms ourselves. You can imagine we had a lot of mushrooms growing on the house. And mushrooms take like a week and a half to like start spoiling.
Right.
So the mushrooms would either start spoiling, and we didn't want a bunch of spoiled mushrooms in the house, so just throw them out and waste a bunch of food.
Right.
So we decided that we could, and since mushrooms are really healthy, we decided that we could sell them to farmers markets, grocery stores, and everything.
Well, because you love eating mushrooms, but even you could not eat that many mushrooms.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure you needed to share that with the community. And then how did the book fit into this? Because you have a great book that talks about your journey of starting Tiger Mushroom Farms. When did that start for you? And, you know, what was it like writing that book?
Well, you see, in between 7 and 9, a lot of stuff happens. So I go to a lot of places.
Yeah.
And meet a lot of new people. And I have a lot of friends that are also entrepreneurs and started their business that are kids, the kidpreneurs, as people like to call them.
Yeah, kidpreneurs. I love it.
And a lot of them had books of them of themselves and to inspire other kids to do things that they want to do.
Yeah.
So I decided I want a book so I can inspire kids like me who want to start businesses like themselves.
Yeah. And why not? Well, why wait to do what you love and get paid for it and help people? And are you seeing now that a lot more kids are kind of going the entrepreneur route? Because when I was a kid, people at 7 to 9 years old were not starting businesses. So that's really unique. But the fact there's more kids out there, is this something that's like becoming more common? Kids are getting into entrepreneurship earlier from what you're seeing?
Yeah, from what I'm seeing. There's a lot more kidpreneurs out there.
Well, and I guess your opinion might be a little biased because you're hanging around all the kidpreneurs. So you see a lot of them, a lot more than probably most of us do. But that's really, really inspiring. And have you heard any stories or feedback from people who have read the book that you might have inspired to start their own business?
Most of the books go to schools. So yeah. I know a lot of kids are reading my book. I also go to schools and read the book to kids or libraries and read the books.
So it's definitely getting out there and making an impact. Do you have any words of wisdom to kids who might be listening to this and think, I want to start a mushroom farm, or they want to start whatever business they have in mind? What's just like a little piece of advice you might have for kids out there?
One, find something that you want to do. Like find something you have a passion in, because if you just find something, like some kids don't want to grow mushrooms and some kids right. don't want grow a garden and sell produce. And if they do, they might get bored with it and then give up on it and drop the idea.
Right.
So find something that is good and you like it and it's interesting and you won't give up on it in like a week.
That will make a very strong business if you dropped it after a week. And I think that's a great piece of advice for anyone. Is if you're going to start a business, it's such a commitment. I'm sure as you've realized, it takes so much time and like energy you put into it. It's really only sustainable if it's something you like doing or love doing, ideally. That's fantastic advice. And something else that I always see on your page that I need to know more about as someone who loves eating mushrooms and someone who loves shiitake mushrooms, what is going on with the shiitake bacon that you make? You know, what is, if you can tell us a little bit about how you transform the humble shiitake mushroom into a delicious vegan bacon.
It's really simple, actually. I'm not going to go through all the steps, but it's extremely easy. We got the recipe from another chef who used to fry their bacon.
Okay.
Fry their mushrooms and make it. But as you know, frying isn't really healthy. So we baked the mushrooms in our oven to make it a more healthy alternative for it.
And, you know, we're going to say it's actually really hard and complicated, because we don't want people to think they can do it. We want people to know, but that's really cool. So you were able to apply just some different food techniques to transform that piece of shiitake, bake it. I'm sure there's spices and different things and make it into this beautiful crispy piece of bacon. Every time I see one of those videos where you're sharing your shiitake bacon at the farmer's market, it just makes me so hungry.
It's easy. Just olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Right. Well, I feel like everyone's now going to be writing that down. We've got the little recipe. We can all try at home. And then, you know, you have this big mission to feed people and end hunger, which is like one of the biggest issues we face on the planet. Two-parter here. How did you start committing to that goal and that mission? And then how do you think mushrooms are a big part of that?
So as you know, I partnered with an organization of No Get Hungry.
Yeah.
But way before that, actually, during my farmer's markets, people use coins to purchase their fresh produce from the farmer's markets. And I asked my dad, why do people use coins? Because these are not actual currency in the U.S., right? And right. Dad said, well, some people don't have enough money to buy their own food. So they have to have coins from farmers markets. The farmers markets have to give them coin, their special currency, to pay for their fresh produce. And I said, well, I want to help. I want people to have be able to get their own fresh produce easily and to them and locally. Because there's a lot of people who use GMOs that people buy because they want fresh, good food, or think it's good food, but it's actually GMO.
Having good organic food is really something that should be available to everyone, right?
Yeah, that's why I want to make it local. So we got a grant from Katie's Crops for $500, and we made raised garden beds to grow our own fresh produce ourselves and then donated it to a local food bank.
You know, even a step like that makes such a big difference. If everyone was doing just that, there would suddenly be all this fresh produce at the food bank. And it's something we all, like, we don't think about that much, is there are people right in the U.S. who are either don't have enough to eat or don't have enough nutrition in what they do eat. You know, we always think that it's happening somewhere else. But there's a lot of people in the U.S. that need this help, too.
Yeah. Doing that, I got partnered up with No Kid Hungry, which is an organization that helps raise money and awareness for childhood hunger. I also do Friendsgivings for them, for No Kid Hungry, to raise money and awareness for childhood hunger as well.
And for No Kids Hungry, is that something that's nationwide? Is that something listeners could get involved with too?
Yeah, their website, nokidhungry.org.
Perfect. We're going to put that in the show notes so people can help with this important work. And it sounds like it could be as simple as donating lots of healthy food so it's more available to people. And then tell us about your work with Food Rescue too, because that was really interesting to me. Because again, we don't think about how many people don't have the right nutrition, but then the flip side is we waste a lot of food and a lot of nutrition. So what is Food Rescue?
So Food Rescue takes unsold food from restaurants and donates them to food banks. So that's what I do for Food Rescue as well, because usually restaurants just take the unsold food that they have and just throw it away.
Right.
That goes to landfills. And not only are we wasting precious food that we could eat, it's also creating greenhouse gases called methane, which is also bad for the environment. So wasting food is hurting us in two different ways.
And then do you help with promoting food banks and like go see the community and help people have access? Because I bet there are people out there that don't even know there are food banks that could help them, you know, get the nutrition they need. So do you help kind of connect people with food banks as well?
Yeah, we usually post it on social media. It should be on the website as well.
Very cool. Well, we'll put links to Food Rescue. And is that something, again, that's nationwide that restaurants and farmers and stuff can sign up for?
Yeah, they have local challenges, chapters, not challenges, chapters.
And then there's also your new nonprofit, the Garden Club project. So again, we're talking about like all these different projects you're involved in doing good in the world. And this is another one of those. But the Garden Club project, what is that nonprofit and what are you guys doing there to change the world?
So the Garden Club project's goals is to encourage kids to eat healthier and to end childhood hunger. So that's where I'm going to try to channel all of my food rescue, getting kids to eat healthier. That's my nonprofit and what I do.
What do you think works best in getting kids to eat healthier? Because I was a kid once. I did not eat healthy and I didn't really want to eat healthy. So you're a kid who does eat healthy and promotes it. What are strategies for any parents out there or any kids out there listening? Like, how do you get people excited about eating healthy?
A good way to get kids to be excited to eat healthier is, or you could just sneak the food into their food. You can sneak the healthy food.
That's smart. Your parents found a really good way, actually.
Or mushroom bacon. You cook the food to make it taste like other food. That's kids like.
So you have to disguise it. Maybe not sneak it in there, but disguise it to make it taste good, like something they don't even know is healthy.
Yeah, because I've been to a lot of cooking demos. I do cooking demos.
Yeah.
And kids know that the stuff that they're eating is mushrooms. They immediately don't like it, but then they buy it and they're like, this is good.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Mushrooms are so changeable when it comes to cooking. You can make them look and taste like so many different things. Sometimes I always joke that when I serve people mushrooms I've cooked, I first just don't tell them that it's mushroom, see if they like it. Another question I had here was just how connected you are with other mushroom farmers. And because on my show, I talk a lot about like the big mushroom community. And I know you've been on other shows. I'm sure you see on social media all the people out hunting for mushrooms and growing mushrooms and like freaking out about mushrooms. So what's that been like to be a part of that bigger community? And are you connected to a community there around Cleveland?
Yeah, and I actually got a book a couple of days ago about me being in some mushroom council. I don't know what the book's called. I forgot what the book's called. But I am in a mushroom book. I feel like I am part of some of the communities.
That's more than most people. Most people aren't in mushroom books or magazines. So you might be downplaying it a little bit. And I heard you were just got involved too, working with the National Mushroom Council.
Yeah. That's probably the book I'm in.
And so far, what have you done with those guys? Just be yourself and promote mushrooms? Or is there anything specific you've done with the National Mushroom Council?
Mostly business is promoting mushrooms, getting kids and adults and different people to eat healthier.
Yeah, I guess you can't really do much more than that to be qualified to help out with the National Mushroom Council. And then the last thing I had in my notes here was about the new microgreen business. And I don't know if this is too new to even talk a lot about, but what was the microgreen business that you got gifted? And how is that going to help you with all these other goals to ending hunger and doing all the other great things you're doing?
Microgreens will probably help me get kids to eat healthier, mainly because they're packed with nutrients. And they can be good with salads. You can put them with different foods. They're good for you. They're healthy and they taste really good.
I love microgreens. So when I read that, I was really excited. Here's someone who's growing mushrooms and growing microgreens. Those are like two of my favorite foods. You can't really go wrong. You could probably eat those two things and be like pretty healthy for most of your life.
And then microgreens and mushrooms are kind of the same. Microgreens, you don't really need a lot of light. They grow fast. Like mushrooms, they don't need a lot of light. They kind of grow the same as mushrooms.
That's actually a really good point. And you can grow them both indoors.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what is the future of Tiger Mushroom Farms, the microgreens? I mean, what's coming next? Are we going to have a giant warehouse full of mushroom blocks, or what's your goal to grow the company?
My goal to grow the company is, yeah, having warehouses so I can grow more mushrooms in different kinds, because I don't want manure in my house.
Right. So you need a warehouse for that one.
Yeah, just get a warehouse and wear a mask so you don't smell the cow manure. Then there's the microgreens. I haven't really thought about how I'm going to expand the microgreens that much.
Yeah, yeah. That one's pretty new. And how about your family? Like I know on social media, you have your sister helping out at events. Have you just gotten everyone obsessed with mushrooms now?
Yes, yes, I have.
Hard to not love mushrooms when you're around that many mushrooms growing around you. It's hard not to be a little obsessed. Is there anything about mushrooms other than growing them in and as food that really inspires you about them?
I really like Paul Samuel's idea that mushrooms can save the world. There's mushrooms that can clean up oil spills. There's different ointments that you can put with mushrooms in, medicines that can help mushrooms. Mushrooms have a lot of vitamin D.
Yeah.
And research shows that mushrooms also have cancer-fighting agents. So they're really healthy. They're also packed with protein. So they're a great substitute for meat. People don't have to eat meat to get protein.
100%. I'm over here clapping my hands because I'm vegan and I'm a big believer that if you're going to do any kind of low meat or no meat diet, you got to use mushrooms because they have a lot of those critical things you need in them. And I'm just blown away by you just listed all the cool things that get me excited about mushrooms. So you already know how big they're going to be in helping us save the planet. I should have known. Of course, you would be into that too. Where can people find more about you and your work with mushrooms, your work with helping to end hunger? Where's the best place people can find you and connect with you?
So my website is tigermushroomfarms.com and all my social media, of course. And you can also buy my mushrooms at a restaurant, Sassafras Bakery. It's near Worthington. I also sell my mushrooms at the Worthington Farmers Market. And at store Sassafras at the North Market.
So there's places where you can actually go and get the tiger mushrooms. You can connect and follow your story because it is a really inspiring story. Definitely, definitely encourage people to do that. And then I have to know too, at school, does everyone know you as the mushroom guy?
No, I don't tell a lot of people at school about the mushroom business. I don't like to gloat about that a lot.
Oh, man. So inspiring, making change, being an entrepreneur, and humble too. Man, I've got some last questions here for all my guests that come on the show. And the first one, I'm not sure what you'll pick for this, but what is a mushroom you love and why? And this can be like a favorite mushroom or just a mushroom you think people might not know about.
My favorite mushroom is the shiitake mushrooms because they're versatile. They're a great substitute for meat. Like you said, if you want to be vegan and you still like meat, you can use shiitake. My dad makes shiitake A1 sauce, so it's healthier than actual A1 sauce. A lot healthier because it's made with mushrooms. And he puts it on his steak and he likes that a lot.
Shiitake A1 sauce? The shiitake A1 sauce sounds amazing. And then a kind of a more general question. How has working with mushrooms kind of changed who you are? And obviously you're a young man, so a lot's changing anyway. But how has working with mushrooms changed your perspective on things, make you see things a different way? How do you think that's changed you?
So it changed me one way because I have a responsibility. So it gave me a lot of responsibility that I can take in. I'm more responsible now. A normal 9-year-old wouldn't be as responsible as I was when I was 9.
No, I definitely was not. Responsible was like the last word that I would think of for myself at 9 years old. So that's a great point. They've helped you understand responsibility. And obviously, they've inspired you to see how nature and natural things can really help heal the planet. We just kind of get out of the way and let nature do its thing. So really cool. And then what is the lasting impact that you hope to make? We've kind of talked about it, about ending hunger and that, but what is the lasting impact you hope to make with your work?
Making the world a greater place by getting kids to eat healthier, replacing food deserts with places that serve local grown food. Because even if there's places where people can get food. There's still food deserts. So you want to get rid of the food deserts as well as getting rid of hunger.
I'm a firm believer that we can grow plenty of healthy organic food for everyone. And I believe there's already a lot of it out there. It is making sure, though, that it really gets to everyone. It's that distribution and selling part where it's available for everyone that I think can use a lot of work. So I'm glad that you're on the job helping to assist with that. And I encourage everyone listening to go to those different organizations we talked about and get involved. And Talario, I just thank you for taking time out of your clearly busy schedule to sit down with us and talk with us on the Mushroom Hour.
Thank you for having me.